Hi. I think most of you probably know me, or have at least seen me around, so I'll keep my intro a little bit shorter. But for those of you who don't know me, hi, my name's Anna. I've been a part of this church my whole life. I was baptized here. I went to Sunday school, VBS, all that good stuff. But I didn't start coming to know God until one of my really good friends invited me to Overflow. It was at Winter Chill, my sophomore year of high school, that I gave my life to Christ. And the only thing I regret is that I didn't do it sooner. So I'm unbelievably grateful for this opportunity to be up here and able to speak to you guys tonight so that maybe I can help guide someone to Jesus the way that Austin, Keanu, Cody, Joey, they all did for me when I was lost and confused and I didn't know Christ. So on that note, let's get into what we're talking about tonight, which I'm super pumped for. If you've missed the last couple weeks, we're currently in a sermon series called Playlist. So we kind of take secular songs, songs that aren't about God, and relate them to our relationship with Him. This week, we're going to be talking about the song Something Just Like This by the Chainsmokers and Coldplay. I'm really excited to talk with you guys about it because I know I was super convicted while writing it, and I think it probably is going to hit close to home for some of you as well. But with that, let's listen to this song, and then we'll talk about it after.
I've been reading books of old, the legends and the myths, Achilles and his gold, Hercules and his gifts, and Spider-Man's control, and Batman with his fist. And clearly I don't see myself upon that list. But she said, where'd you wanna go? How much you wanna risk? I'm not looking for somebody with some superhuman gifts, some superhero, some fairy tale bliss, just something I can turn to, somebody I can kiss. I want something just like this. Something just like this. Testaments they told, the moon and its eclipse, and Superman unrolls the suit before he lifts. But I'm not the kind of person that it fits. She said, where'd you wanna go? How much you wanna risk? I'm not looking for somebody with some superhuman gifts, some superhero, some fairy tale bliss, just something I can turn to, somebody I can miss. I want something just like this.
So when I was first listening to that song in preparation for tonight, I was really struggling to figure out how I was going to be able to relate that to God. It seemed like every route that I tried to take led straight to a dead end. But after praying, a lot of praying, and reworking the way that I interpreted the song, I realized where I was going wrong. I had been looking at it like a personal testimony, trying to find statements of worship or praise, when really it's a conversation. It's a conversation between us and God. The verses, if we can get the verses on the board, are like us talking. They illustrate our worries and our thoughts of being not good enough and all the self-doubt that follows. But all of those insecurities are resolved in the chorus, if we can get that up, where God is responding to that. He's asked us if we would risk it all for him, if we're ready to give our lives to him, because that's all he wants. He doesn't really care about how we rank compared to others. He never looks at me and thinks, well, Anna's okay, but look at all the people who are better at this than her, or she's really doing not too good in that compared to other people, right? He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that for me, and he doesn't do that for you. And what he's asking us is that we kind of do that for ourselves, that we don't rank compared to others, which I think we all know is not an easy thing to do. It's nearly effortless to fall into the trap of comparing ourselves to other people, as well as feeling bogged down with the weight of expectation that is put on us by our parents and family, society, etc. The list could go on forever. And I think that a big thing that we all struggle with, especially in this day and age, is envy and jealousy. So, in relation to the song, this part would be the verses. It's the part where we're confessing our feelings of illegitimacy and lack of value. I'm sure at one point or another, we've all felt this way. Take a second to think about something you love to do, something that you're passionate about, that you're getting into. Maybe when you first started doing whatever you're thinking about, you were naturally a pro and picked it up right away, but I kind of doubt it. So you start practicing, and slowly you get better and better, and soon enough, you're kind of starting to feel good about it, about the skills that you've gained. And then you go somewhere, or you see a video of someone doing it too, and wow, they're really good. And I think there's two ways that you can kind of handle that situation. Either thinking to yourself, okay, I'm super impressed, I want to get to that level, and I'm going to try. Or you can think, wow, they're super good, I don't think I'll ever be that good, and why should I even try? I think it's pretty obvious that we'd all want to be in the first one, the more optimistic mindset than the second, but it's safe to say that a lot of us fall under the second category. Maybe not all the time, maybe you swing back and forth, but sometimes giving up just seems easier than trying and failing. So how do we aim towards the first mindset? Like all times of deliverance and guidance seeking, we need to turn to God and think about what he wants for us. He doesn't care about how our gifts rank compared to others. He never asks us to be the best over someone else. All he wants is the best for us. In the chorus of the song, it says, I'm not looking for somebody with some superhuman gifts, just something I can turn to. This is what God has been trying to tell us the whole time, the whole reason his son died on the cross for us. We're human, and time after time, we cannot measure up. But God sent Jesus to pay for our sins. So he's telling us that he knows we aren't and will never be the best. But that's all right, as long as we accept him, and we will remain to have faith. And this goes for more than just talents or gifts. I think a lot of jealousy is created over the way we look, and I know that personally, that's something that's been a huge struggle for me. It's not really something that I've talked a whole lot about, but as I was writing this, I had a strong feeling that I needed to share, even though I really didn't want to. I've been very familiar with jealousy and envy pretty much for as long as I can remember, ever since I was young. I was always a little bit on the heavier side when it came to weight. I was lucky enough to have never gotten bullied, but it didn't stop me from fantasizing of being smaller and prettier. It was all I wanted. I didn't have any other dreams or aspirations, or at least none that matched the intensity that I had for losing weight. And instead of working out who I was as a person, all I saw myself was as the fat girl. and I was obsessed with it. Every night I would pray that I'd wake up and all the weight would be gone, and I'd look like a new person. But obviously, it doesn't work like that. In eighth grade, one of my friends told me that she used to be in a similar situation, a little bit bigger, and then she stopped eating very much and she lost all this weight. So me, hearing this, thought it was an instant solution to my problems, especially since I was so young and naive, so I did just that. I stopped eating regular-sized meals, and by the end of the school year, I had lost 20 or 30 pounds. And that only fueled my obsession because I was seeing results. I had gone from a large to a small in shirts, and I was receiving compliments and more attention from people and never considered stopping what I was doing. Finally, I was starting to look like the person I had wanted to. So I lost another 10 or 15 pounds my freshman year, and then I plateaued and stopped losing weight. I was in the healthy weight range for my height, but it wasn't enough for me, and I needed to be smaller. My sophomore year was when I was at my worst. I was lying to my friends and my family about what I was eating, which a lot of the time was nothing. And when I did eat, I couldn't keep it down because I was overcome with this terrible guilt. Even something as little as half a sandwich would make me so upset and disappointed with myself that I felt like I failed, and I tore myself down with such negative thoughts. At the time, I thought I was happy. Beauty is pain, you know, but it wasn't until I was able to take a step back and look at the situation as a whole that I realized how draining it was. It was what I thought about 24/7. It had taken control of my life. So at the end of my 10th grade year, my life started to get a little more hectic and stressful, and I started to gain weight again. I gained 20 pounds back, and it sent me into a kind of spiral, which only led me to gain more weight back. My mental state was so negative and toxic that I didn't want to wake up, and I rarely left the house for anything that wasn't school, which was a nightmare in itself. I just couldn't stop looking at all these girls who weighed less than me and telling myself that I wasn't good enough. I knew what I was doing was not what God wanted, and I ignored it because I was addicted. And it wasn't until this past summer when I finally turned to God instead of turning away from Him that it made the world of a difference. Before, I considered myself a Christian. I had given my life to God and I prayed to Him. I read the Bible, I came to church. But when it came to the topic of my eating issues, kind of swept it under the rug, and it was just something that he and I didn't talk about very much. But when I started to accept myself and God's help, it's blatantly obvious that what I look like doesn't matter. God doesn't care in the slightest if I'm 100 pounds or 300 pounds. He just wants me to live with him in my heart. So if the creator of the entirety of everything doesn't care about something, it just doesn't make sense for me to. Envy is not justified. Jealousy is not the same as inspiration or motivation. I really like Proverbs 14:30, which reads, "A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones." Envy and jealousy are not from God. He wants nothing to do with them. They do not create good. They just further separate us from God and inflict pain back onto ourselves. That's what God wants us to know. We get so caught up in comparisons, trying to be the best in an earthly sense, when really we should be trying to live the best lives we can through God. I think this gives us hope and a sort of rest. We can trust that no matter if we succeed or fail, God's love will not waver. We are no longer bound to the concerns of the world because as long as we accept God's love, we can rest in sure acceptance. The bottom line is, all God cares about is if we are with Him. That's really the heart of what we talked about tonight. And if you take away anything from it, I pray it's that you know God's love is not measured by any matter of earthly standing. It's simply to have a relationship with us.